Now verses 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. Now, John's the one that had an easy familiarity with Christ when he was here on this earth. You remember how he reclined on his bosom in the upper room? You remember he could rebuke him. Oh, this man, John, he was very close to the Lord Jesus. But when he saw the glorified Christ yonder on the Isle of Patmos, he didn't go up to him and pat him on the back. He didn't go up to him and shake hands. He didn't go up to him and begin a conversation. He fell at his feet as dead. And my friend, if Jesus Christ, as he is right now at God's right hand, if he would come to you and to me right now and we'd see him in all of his glory, in all of his beauty, you and I are not going to be familiar with him at all. We're not going to get up and pat him on the back. We're not going to talk in a familiar way to him. We are going to fall down before him as dead and worship and praise him. That's who he is. John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Now we're going to look at that next time from here on. But I want to go back and just pick up one or two things that we need to see here that are very important. General Nathan Twining was in command of the U.S. 20th Air Force in the Far East at the end of World War II. He was the man who gave the command to drop the first atom bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He became later the chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he dropped another atom bomb on December the 10th in 1959, and it had just about as great repercussion as the literal bomb did. He told the French in particular and other Europeans in general that they were not carrying their share of the defense of NATO, and that they were falling down on the defense of Europe, and that NATO was coming unglued. And you know the repercussions of that are still reverberating throughout Europe today, what that man said. Although the general was accurate in his charges, the reactions were bitter, and there were countercharges made, and denials and excuses were offered. And when President Eisenhower at that time went to Europe, he received the coolest reception he'd ever had. Why? The human heart resents criticism. Human nature rebels against judgment being passed on us. We like to be handed a passel of little rules and regulations. And that's the reason all of these little courses are so popular today, because Christians want to be legalistic whether they know it or not. They don't want to live by grace. Give them a few little rules that they can go by, and we have, as a result, a group of Band-Aid believers today. They just put this little Band-Aid on, and they think that that's all they need to heal a broken leg or something. Why? Because this old nature that you and I have, it'll purr like a pussycat when flattered, but it'll bristle like a porcupine when failure to do a job is recorded. And that's the reason that the present position of Christ and his contemporary work as one who inspects us is largely ignored by the church. He occupies the position as judge of the church and members, and he does not flatter. He does not ignore what he sees. He doesn't shut his eyes to sin and that which is wrong. His constant charge and command to his church is, as we're going to see, repent, change, or I'll come to you and I'll remove your lampstand. And the church has smarted and squirmed under this indictment down through the ages and still does. It's a natural resentment that's in the hearts of lukewarm believers, and the Laodicean church has paid scant attention to what he has to say today. As someone has said, there's a man in the glory, but the church has lost sight of him. Now, the effect of this vision upon John, actually, it was nothing short of paralyzing. This is the man that was so familiar with him, with the Lord Jesus, reclined upon his bosom, yonder in the upper room, and didn't mind rebuking him when he was here on earth. Now he falls at his feet, is dead. And my friend, if John did that, when you and I get into the presence of the Lord Jesus, we're not going to get familiar with him. He is the glorified Christ today. And I don't like all of this Jesus stuff today, about Jesus this and Jesus that, as if he's your buddy. He's not that. I don't even like the song that says, Jesus is a friend of mine. Somebody says, well, you certainly are hard to please. I certainly am. Somebody says, well, why? Well, he said this, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. When I hear somebody up strumming a guitar or screeching in a church some solo about Jesus is a friend of mine, I feel like saying to that individual, well, then I take it that you're obeying him because you're my friends if you do what I command you. I think we need to recognize we don't get familiar with him. But the marvelous thing here is, he says, fear not. And that is the greeting of deity addressing humanity. And he gives four reasons here for not fearing. He says, I'm the first and the last. That speaks of his deity. He came out of eternity and moves into eternity. The psalmist said, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And the word everlasting means from the vanishing point. From the vanishing point in the past to the vanishing point in the future, he's God. And if where you want to project yourself, he's God. And therefore, we have here this that speaks of his deity. And he's first because there was none before him, and he's last because there are none to follow him. Now, the second reason we're not to fear, and he says, and he's the living one who became dead. And that speaks of his redemptive death and resurrection. And that is exactly what Paul said. You know, most of us have that guilt complex, and we're afraid somebody will point a finger at us and say, you're guilty, and we are, of course. But Paul asks the question in Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? Now, where's the fellow that's going to condemn me? And there are a lot of them that can and do, by the way. But wait a minute. Paul says, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Well, my friend, if you've got a fault to find with me, you think I'm a great sinner, Christ died for me. I'd like for you to know that. Yea, rather, he's risen again. He rose for my justification to show that I'm forgiven and that I'm going to heaven someday. And he's even at the right hand of God. That's a wonderful thing. He also makes intercession for me. He prays for me. How wonderful it is. How glorious it is that we have this. Now, will you notice he says for the third wonderful thing, behold, I'm alive forevermore. And that speaks of his present state and session, that he's not only judging, he's making intercession. We need that. And the fourth thing, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Now, the keys speak of authority and power. Jesus has power over death and the grave. Now, right now, because of his own death and resurrection. And Hades here is the Greek word for the unseen world. It can refer to the grave where the body is laid or the place where the spirit goes. Now, you need not be afraid of anyone except the one that can take your life. And we do well to be afraid of that, of anyone shooting us down or destroying us. But fear not. Jesus, he has the keys of death. He's the one that can relieve us of that terrible fear of death. Now, with all of this, he can say to us today, fear not.